Well, good morning. You know what? Let's just pray and agree right now that we need this rain to stop, huh? Can we just pray that the rain will stop? So, God, we acknowledge you as Lord of the forecast, Lord of the weather. And, God, we ask right now that you would change the forecast for today, that you would open the skies, that the sun would come out, and you would stop the rain. And God, we pray for our family right now and those in our community who have had some damage from all this water. God, we ask for your relief in the name of Jesus, and we ask for your presence to be with them. Bring restoration in a way that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys believe in miracles this morning? Amen, me too. And you know what miracle is going to happen is I am going to be done speaking by 10 o'clock and we're going to have communion by then because we're going to have a party because we need to honor and celebrate these graduates. And we've invited everybody to come early and party with us. And don't worry, we're not going to have the party on the patio. You don't have to put on your rain boots to go have the party. We're going to bring some food and fun right here into the sanctuary at the end of the service. So make sure you stick around for that, okay? So our second service today is going to be a combined service. And we are hoping that by doing kind of a party in the middle that it'll give you guys who come to first service a chance to meet and mix and be with our Grace and Espanol family. And we do this really intentionally. It's not an accidental thing that we do. It's not something that we just say, every now and then we should just get together. But we do this really, really intentionally because it's important for us to be together. Our vision is really that Grace Covenant Church would represent in every way our community. We don't want to just all look the same and sound the same and be the same. And I don't think that this is politically correct at all, so I apologize for that right now. But for those of you in the room who are not white and who maybe speak with a different dialect, who are not from around here, I am so especially thankful for you this morning. I am so thankful that you've decided to make Grace Covenant Church your home. And I hope sincerely that we have made it a welcoming place for you and that you've felt like it's home. And in the same breath, I want to say I'm sorry for the times when it hasn't felt like home, for the times when it has felt a little bit uncomfortable, for the times where you've had to really work to step into a room where you know you can't hide, where you know because of your skin color or the way you talk that you will stand out. And so I'm sorry if there have been ways that we have made you feel uncomfortable. We repent for that. We are better with you here. We want you here. We want to make room for everyone so that we can be a full expression of the kingdom in Harrisonburg, Virginia. So thank you. Thank you for coming here and for choosing to make this your home. You know, in the world, people come together, they rally around together because of the way that they're the same. They come together because of political agendas or values or socioeconomic statuses. They come together because of how they look and how they dress and the language that we speak. But we want to come together not despite our differences, but in celebration of them. We are stronger, we are more effective, and we are richer because we're not the same. Romans 12:2 urges us not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The world is going to gather around ideas and issues, but we, church, rally around a person. We rally around the person of Jesus Christ. And our coming together is really no small thing. I believe that it shifts the atmosphere and challenges the enemy's agenda to let our differences stand as a line that divides us. When we make room, when we scoot over, when we cross the lines that divide us, when we honor others above ourselves, when we prefer somebody else above our own preferences, the world changes. I've recently been reflecting a lot on the idea of shifting atmospheres, changing culture. It's actually one of my favorite topics. I love thinking about it and looking at what actually happens. And Joseph, our man Joseph, is this not cool or what? Is that the coolest like stage design you've ever seen? I think it's the coolest stage design I've ever seen. And this morning, I kind of got a pass. I didn't have to talk about Joseph, but I'm like, how can I not talk about Joseph when the letter J is taller than me? And it would just be really confusing if I didn't talk about Joseph. So Joseph is actually a great case study for shifting atmospheres. And Joseph, at this point in the story that we're going to pick up today, he's like the same age as these high school seniors that were up here. It's pretty cool. And so I especially, for the four of you that are here for this first service, I want you to hear this today, because you do not have to wait to change the world around you until you figure out what you're going to be or where you're going to live or what you're going to do. I'm sure of the four of you, there's at least one of you that's probably like, I have no idea what I'm doing with my life. Well, there are those of us in our 30s who are still saying, what am I doing with my life? What am I going to be when I grow up? So just settle into that. It's okay. You have grace to continue to figure that out for the long haul. So last Sunday, Mike left a young and pride-filled Joseph in the pit. You guys remember? He's in the pit. He was abandoned, rejected, and sold by his brothers, his own family. And he ends up making his way to Egypt and is bought by Potiphar and put to work in his house as a slave. We're going to start reading right there, okay? So this is Genesis 39. We're starting in verse 2 if you want to follow along. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything except for the food that he ate. Pretty interesting, huh? But just as Joseph is getting settled, sort of solidly back on his feet, figuring out who he is, Potiphar's wife attempts to seduce him, and he refuses, which that should stand out to you. Joseph didn't just refuse, no thank you. He fled. He ran. He ran away from sin. And again, you four guys, let's just pray. God, I pray a blessing over these four men, that they would flee from sin, that they would run from it, that not even for a minute would they entertain the enemy's plan for their lives, but that they would flee from sin in every way, just as Joseph did. Amen. So as Joseph refuses, Potiphar's wife makes up a lie, and Joseph gets thrown in prison. Life's fair sometimes, isn't it? Picking up in verse 20. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. When I read this passage, I was struck by how many times it said, the Lord was with Joseph. Did you pick up on that? Did you hear it over and over and over again? You should have, because in those 8 verses that I read, it was said 4 times. He had favor and he was successful in everything he did. Everything he put his hands to succeeded. Potiphar's house was blessed because of Joseph. And then in prison, he found favor again and was put in charge of all the prisoners and all that was done there. And again, he was successful in all that he did. Joseph changed every atmosphere he was in because the Lord was with him. He changed the spiritual climate because the Lord was with him. He changed the physical surroundings because the Lord was with them. And church, we too have the power to change the atmosphere in our home, where we work, and in our neighborhoods. We can change the atmosphere because you know what? The Lord is with us. The Lord is in us, just as he was in Joseph. For example, Gordon Wyrick, who is our local outreach youth ministry guy, Gordon has a way of making every conversation lighter and less serious. Gordon makes the most mundane of tasks enjoyable, even memorable. Gordon shifts the atmosphere. My friend Alicia Burns, she carries this gentle joy and peace and a deep conviction that the Lord wants us well from the inside out. She owns Cross Keys Equine Therapy, and because of who she is, people get well just being on her property. I get better just hanging out with her because of who she is and what she carries. My friend Nathan Blackwell can have a conversation with anyone, anywhere, anytime. I'm sure you've heard the phrase before, never met a stranger. Well, that's Nathan. He doesn't know a stranger, but you know what? That's actually, that's not like a cliche sort of offhand comment, because what it does is it takes the strangeness away from a person, and it makes somebody who may feel very alone, all of a sudden they belong, because he engages and pulls people in. Nathan changes the atmosphere. Beth Cooper. Beth Cooper stirs faith wherever she is and wherever she goes. Beth Cooper makes me feel uncomfortable in the area, in the amount of faith that I currently have. She is forever pressing and pushing for more, that we would step into more of what God has for us. That we would trust God more. That we would believe God for more. Beth shifts the atmosphere when she's in. And my faith gets stirred in such a way that I'll pray for things when Beth is standing next to me that I might not be brave enough to pray for without her there. You know, I know somebody else, and this one's going to remain nameless, and don't worry, it's not in this room, okay? Not in this church. Travis really wanted me to qualify that, actually. And this person gossips a lot. Actually, I don't know that this person knows how to have a conversation about ideas. Their conversations are always centered around people. And you know what? It's a very slippery slope. When you're around this person, it is really easy to slide into that place of talking about people, of gossiping, of slandering somebody behind their back. It is a slippery, dark slope because you know what? She too is shifting the atmosphere. But I've learned that I don't have to participate. I don't have to submit to the spirit that's in her. And actually, I don't have to walk away and unfriend her either. I don't have to just ignore her. 1 John 4:4 tells us that he who is in you is stronger than he that is in the world. I have the spirit of the living God in me, and he is stronger than whatever would come against me. Because I have the Lord with me, as Joseph did, I can shift the atmosphere, even in her presence. High school graduates, you will change the world. You will. You will change the world. It might be in a small way. It might be in a massive way. How are you going to do it? Are you going to do it knowing that he who is in you, the spirit of the living God is in you, and that you can overcome and shift every atmosphere you walk into? That's the truth. Every single one of us in this room has the power to shift the temperature. You know, we're getting ready to say goodbye to Kathy Castura, who's been our administrator for a long time, and the temperature is going to shift when she leaves. The literal temperature is going to shift because she's always hot, and so it's forever freezing in the church. So the literal temperature is going to shift. But Kathy has served as a watchman for the church. She has stood on the wall in a really profound way. And we're going to miss her in our office, but we're not going to miss her here in this church because she's still going to be here. But she has shifted the atmosphere in our church body. You are more powerful than you know because the Lord is with you. And please remember that this was no ideal scenario for Joseph. You know, Potiphar's house, we think, oh, that was pretty cool. He got put in charge of everything. Yeah, as a slave, he was still a slave. And then he's a prisoner in jail. So really, we have no excuses. We can't say, oh, well, you know, you just don't understand my boss. You just don't understand the environment that I work in. You don't understand my spouse. You don't understand how disrespectful my kids are. The Spirit of God living in you is more powerful than anything you will find in the world. The Lord is with you, church. Recognize the favor of God in your life and act. Rise up as a steward of his gifts.